Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Hey, everybody, and just wanted to take a second before we start today's episode, exciting episode as we have, I believe you already know, theme song throwdown. It is going on. It's going on right now. It's your chance to vote for the finals. That's right. The finals of Theme Song Throwdown. It's Pokemon versus Muppet Babies. That's right, kids. Pokemon beat Star Blazers. Thank the Lord. I couldn't hear from Chan anymore about Star Blazers. It was getting to be too much, y'all. Trying to drive me to an early grave. My point is, Pokemon versus Muppet Babies is the finals. You can vote on that right now. And I highly suggest that you do so, because we want a decision. We need an answer. Theme Song Throwdown Champion, Pokemon versus Muppet Babies, voted on by you, the fans. So go to @GIJoePodcast on Twitter. It will be pinned to the top. Check it out and make your voice heard. Enjoy the show.
Laverne, let's join the army.
You what, girl? Where do I sign up?
I'm with you.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, Palette Cleansing, once again, as we prepare for Season 5 of Knowing is Half the Podcast, the G.I. Joe recap show, about to do G.I. Joe Extreme, but we had a couple side projects that we had to get on the record, as we say, before we get to that. But before we get started, I am Ray Stakanis.
There's no amount of cleansing we can do to the palate to get the taste of dick out of our mouth.
Deek. Oh, God damn it, Chan.
Deek.
God Sorry. Damn it.
Deep deekings. That's what that's what I'm calling my Christmas carol.
Why are you doing callbacks to bits the audience will never hear? What is the point of that?
They need to know that they're missing out on the real gold.
Are we putting that at the end of the show? Is that where we're going with that?
I don't think I recorded any of it. So
I think we're better off for it then. Thank you.
I do think we need to sage our computers before we start on the next G.I. Joe effort.
That's, oh boy.
That's fair.
Yeah. Maybe an exorcism would be in order.
Yeah.
Those last two clip shows, they really just beat the hell out of us, guys. I can't express in strong enough terms.
Is that why we haven't started the next series yet?
Well, no, we're lining up our guest for the first episode still.
Okay, so that's, okay.
But also there's other stuff we wanted to do, because we did do a full Deep Dickens, as Chan said, of Deke Era G.I. Joe to pound it out at the end. Jesus, these analogies. And so we did so many in a row. Our morale has never been lower than it was at the end of The Legend of Metalhead. So we got to do some of this light, fun stuff to get it back fun again, and then deep dive back into G.I. Joe Extreme.
Okay, well then I apologize, because this cartoon was, that's not going to bring anybody's morale up. I'll say that.
My morale is high right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I didn't mind this.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing. We've talked about this a lot, and I don't remember when the last time was it was, but there was this whole thing that they used to do, which was take adult shows and then turn them into kids' cartoons. And they did the same thing with Mork and Mindy, and then they added like a cute alien dog.
And it was abominable.
But it's you know what you're getting going in. It's not like you're going to a fine dining restaurant and then they like bring you out a McDonald's hamburger. Like if you're watching this cartoon, you're going to McDonald's. If you expect like they gave you exactly what I expected. I expected, you know, like, okay, they're going to do something. They always add some sort of weird animal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of what the other show was.
Well, the other one we watched was Happy Days Gets the Time Machine.
Yes, and in that they didn't add a cute animal, didn't they? Add a cute alien or something?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a cute
but yeah, there's always they always take an adult show and then they're like, add one element that will make kids like it, either an alien dog, a cute alien, or in this case, a talking pig.
What would that look like in today? Because now I'm just thinking, my head's spinning. It's just like, what if it's like we took the cast of The Big Bang Theory, we put them in caveman times, and gave them a snarky cat. Right?
Is that sort of just what it would be? Would like Mm-mm. to invest in this project. Mm-mm. Please bring me on as a producer.
It's 100% going to be a baby T-Rex.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Baby T-Rex.
A snarky baby
good.
T-Rex, though, right? Yeah.
That goes it is in caveman with times, Sheldon. Also.
And the other crazy thing is, it's like all the actual original cast doing the same voices. Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling has beaten this out of me, where I just assumed nobody famous did this. For these shows, they all did it, which is crazy. It's real Laverne, real Shirley, real Pig.
Real pig. I was unclear.
I understood about halfway through what was going on with the pig, which is the pig is voiced by Squiggy.
Oh, is that who voiced the pig?
I don't think it was actual Squiggy, but
I looked it up on Wikipedia. Wow. It is actual Squiggy. And they name the pig Squealy. So basically they clearly had him. And then they were like, well, wait, we can't just have three adults. Let's make one of them a pig.
Yeah.
Why they don't have what's his butt, I don't know.
Well, this is Horshack. Horshack is Horshack Squiggy?
No, he is not.
Okay.
Because it was Christopher Guest and...
No, Ron Palillo.
Ron what? Palillo. I'm looking him up right now.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
But I mean, if you're a Horseshack, you might as well be Squiggy. Let me just go ahead and start there.
Yeah,
that's an easy drop.
He's a Squiggy type. But I think he was doing the Squiggy voice. So clearly Sergeant Squealy is supposed to be.
I don't know. A Squiggy type.
Right.
And I'm fine with that.
David Lander, I apologize, and Michael McKean, not Christopher Guest.
Did you see on season two ads Frank Welker?
Well,
because
he has to be
in every cartoon. It's
yes,
in,
he does.
It's the law.
It's the, yes. Literally, it's in the Constitution. It was the 23rd Amendment. Frank Welker must be in every cartoon.
But this is like this... This, other than the fact that it's Laverne and Shirley.
Holy shit, I'm sorry. I just scrolled down to the part where Frank Welker's name pops up and the character he plays.
Mr. Cool?
Is Mr. Cool.
Yeah.
How the fuck?
Because he was on the season with the Fonz.
Yes.
So of course,
crossover.
Yeah. Laverne and Shirley and the Fonz.
Because they shared an hour. They shared an hour together in season two.
That dog was called Mr. The alien was called Mr. Cool, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Oy.
That alien was
I managed
Mr. Cool.
to scrub it out of my brain for several months.
But here's the thing. The only thing wrong with this is that it's Laverne and Shirley. Like, if this was just a random cartoon that was like two people on a military base and their superior is a talking pig, like, that's a kid's cartoon.
Well, thank goodness that the show... Laverne and Shirley only has one problem, which is Laverne and Shirley.
Interesting.
No, I just mean it's in keeping with that whole let's take this, add a little that, and then it's kid stuff. But like if you were pitching a cartoon and you said, okay, there's two people, they join the army only to find their superior is a super smart talking pig.
That's a good cartoon pitch.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think therein lies the rub for me. Because if you have a Jabberjaw, if you have a Scooby-Doo, you know, you've got these humans and you've got a talking animal and their hijinks ensue. Fine. But as soon as you bring in real human beings, Laverne and Shirley was a live action show, and then you say that, like, oh, these characters, which you know exist in the real world, now are in a world with a talking pig, unless you started out like the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon with like, and we're sucked into a portal, into a world where now a pig can be an army officer. then there's that clash that I can't get on board.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. And that was honestly how I felt at first, because it took me a little while to realize what's going on. And even in reading the Wikipedia entry for episode number one, where I thought maybe they sort of explained this, it's not explained. It's like I remember from Mork and Mindy, it was a little bit more like it's already a comedy with a supernatural element. And also, I guess the extra weird layer to me is that this was like Laverne and Shirley joining the army was an episode of Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, okay.
There was no talking pig or anything like that. It's just an episode where they and I think it might have been even called Laverne and Shirley Join the Army or something.
We're in the army now.
Yes. So basing it off of like an already existing thing when they could have just made it its own thing adds an extra layer of weirdness, because there was no talking pig in that original one. And also, the talking pig isn't the only supernatural element of this cartoon.
It's not. Now,
to be fair.
Now, they give us a little preview at the top of here's what you're going
to
see
Hold
today.
Hold on. Before yes. we even get to this.
Yes.
I scrolled down a little bit more and looked at those episode synopses, and we are so lucky, I guess, or you are so lucky, because episode two of Jungle Jumpers finds them stuck between the Zambulu tribe, not a thing, and a giant ape. Uh-huh. So that's a lot of fun.
Scroll down
to Tokyo Ho Ho. Laverne and Shirley are off to Tokyo for a special mission. Meanie Genie, I'm sure they're going to treat the Arabic people with respect.
The early 80s were known for treating people from the Mideast with decency.
I will say, I always assume that you look for the worst or craziest episodes, Chan. So the fact that you just stumbled upon this one randomly is very weird.
Well, to be fair, I had been looking for this show for a while, and I could not find any good copies of it. And randomly, I saw that someone had posted several episodes on YouTube. I was like, oh, dang. I'll take advantage.
You know what? I actually was wondering, because there were quite a few, like at least in my YouTube, there were quite a few episodes in the right-hand side. And the fact that it was produced by Hanna-Barbera and Paramount Television, I wonder if the fact that like Paramount is going into their vault for everything for Paramount Plus, that made me wonder if that's what the timing is.
Interesting. Okay.
Like if they were unearthed by someone and someone was just like, fuck it, I'll upload these.
Man. It might be that they're not coming out because there's too much problematic content.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I was involved in the Laverne and Shirley Trust, I would not let these see the light of day for the sake of everyone involved. Most specifically, Frank Welker. 23rd Amendment. So it opens up with it. Here's what you're going to see today. And I'm already, first off, the name of the episode is Too Many Cooks. Too Many Cooks. Too Many Cooks. I haven't seen that in forever.
Just real quick.
It's great.
I was looking at just the, you know, that little animated GIF that they show as a preview of a YouTube clip. I pulled up Tokyo Ho Ho, just looking at that preview, and bullet dodged. Bullet fucking
We apparently
got
to come back
to
this
show.
Well,
I know what I'm going to be watching tonight in my free fun time to relax.
Yes, during this time where a lot of focus being placed on violence against Asian Americans, we should definitely bring up this and have people watch it.
Is that a way to join people back together again, Chan, in your estimation?
Good idea.
Okay, great. Well, there it is. Let's just watch that episode and just do that one instead. No. Too Many Cooks is the name of the episode. My first comment is, what the fuck is happening? Because initially I'm like, okay, this is going to be weird. And it opens up with, here's what you're going to see. And I see a shrink ray. I see a talking pig. obviously the army's involved. And then we get into the theme song, which not has all of the above, a pig, but it also has King Kong. It has aliens. And I'm just like, what the hell have we gotten ourselves into? And how can we turn this show into a Laverne and Shirley in the Army podcast?
Yeah, the fact that they showed everything that was going to happen in the episode was a really weird choice.
That's a thing that they used to do. I want to say it was in the 70s is when they peaked at it.
Is it because they thought kids were real dumb?
Maybe, or that might just be just like a something that other TV shows did. As a matter of course,
I'm wondering because there are only like three channels and kids, you know, kind of suck. So I could totally see where they were trying to get the kid like, hey, don't leave. Here's what we're going to do. And they just sort of just tell you right out the gate. So that way they don't just click over to the other channel and disappear.
Maybe it was a specific choice. But yeah. And I guess kids don't care about spoilers. Like kids aren't going into a rage every Friday after someone posts a WandaVision picture to be like, you know, some of us have to be up early, and I'm totally that person, so I'm making fun of myself. but yeah, kids, I guess, don't care about spoilers, but it's really weird that they show everything that happens.
Yeah, I might even say, like, for a kid, maybe it'd be fun when you see the things, so that way when the thing happens later in the show, you can be like, oh, no, it's that thing I saw.
Yeah,
and you feel excited about
it,
you know?
You're right. So that's how they got small.
Yeah. I mean, there's the deal. Every time I saw something from the opening, I just grabbed my cat Timo and I just started shouting, there's the thing. That's the thing they did. So I get it, kids.
Oh, someone needs to take that poor cat away from you.
How dare you? Don't you dare. Not after what I just spent to keep him alive. So we open up, we're at Camp Fillmore, and Laverne and Shirley are painting the flagpole above like one of the gates or something. And their pig friend comes over. Well, pig friend, he's their superior officer. He's like the squad leader of their brigade, I suppose. And they are privates, near as I can tell. And he just comes over and just starts berating them. And,
you put too much thought into their rank in this.
I think a lot about ranks in the military shows. Me and Buzz Dixon are the only two people who care. Okay.
Oh, by the way, during the theme song, when it's revealed that they joined the army, they only sign their first names. So I don't think that's legally binding.
Interesting.
Well, they could walk off anytime they wanted to, but they didn't. They don't for reasons.
Well, yeah, they love the army. It makes sense. Maybe they're, you know, about to get kicked out of their apartment in Milwaukee.
I'm going to say, to be honest, they, like, if you said to me, hey, you know, you're going to join the army, but you're not really going to be doing anything, and your superior officer is going to be an intelligent talking pig, and at some point you're going to go and pretend to be food examiners that are, like, taste testing food, I would be like, sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, that's how you get that's how we get Gina overseas to fight the enemy.
Yeah, adorable talking animals and lying so I could eat food.
So they end up spilling paint all over the pig, and then they collapse the thing and they fall on the pig. And I'm just like, this pig's going to take a lot of abuse in this show, isn't he? And
but it occurred kind to of me. He's a jerk, so you don't feel bad for him. He's a jerk.
Squeaky's an asshole. I actually got the vibe.
Get his name
who
right.
Who gives a shit?
But that is the dynamic, though, and it totally makes sense that they, you know, like, they were able to transport basically wholesale the chemistry of or the dynamics from their original show. Like, yeah, let's get the guy who's a jerk but can't actually do anything to them, you know, and make him the superior officer and all that. And like,
well, that's what I didn't understand because, well, one, Squealy gives off a big time brainy Smurf energy.
Yeah.
Like, he's basically the same character. If you put Brainy, for those of you at home who did not see this, Brainy Smurf, you remember from the Smurfs, this is who he is. He's always threatening them. I'm going to go tell, instead of Papa Smurf. In this case, it's like Lieutenant Wheeler or whatever the heck it is. Sergeant Slaughter. I wish it was Sergeant. That's a different show entirely.
It was Sergeant something, and I kept wanting to write Sergeant Slaughter every time.
It's fine.
Sergeant Turnbuckle.
Turnbuckle.
I mean, honestly.
It might as well be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And so... But the other thing about it is they are complete assholes to their superior officer. And my limited understanding of the army is that does not fly.
Well, I mean, honestly, to Gina's point, it's possible that like they're just there on friggin' vacation. They haven't signed anything and there's the pig has no power over them. Like maybe the army just had a talking pig, didn't know what to do with it, and they're like, I don't know, just tell him that he's the boss of these two and like get all three of them out of our hair.
Man, and Sergeant Turnbuckle, you got to figure, he's just like, whatever, pig, deal with it.
I get the impression that he, yeah, is Sergeant Turnbuckle Godot in this situation? Like, do we never see him?
He has a voice actor. So my understanding is he does show up at some point.
Interesting. Okay.
He seems superfluous.
Yeah. I thought it was like a Vera from Cheers bit or a, like, he's always threatening to call him, but he's never actually there.
Yeah. It's like, what if it's like Kramer on Seinfeld, you know, you never see him on the show. You only have people talking about him.
And
what's that?
I think you've had one too many head injuries today.
To be fair, I've had a lot today. So jumping forward, we learned that they have a new chef on hand, and he is one of the top chefs, which kind of made me happy. So he's a guy who won Top Chef in 1980.
Yeah, no, and this checks out.
And he's a big brute of a man. And they go into see what's going on with this guy and be like amateur tasters or whatever they say, inspectors of food. And the thing that really impressed me was the way they animated it, the way he cut bread. I don't know if y'all noticed this.
Yeah.
But there was a giant loaf of French bread on the table, and he was just like chopping it like a banana. And it was delightful.
I saw that. I was concerned about it. And then later on, I was like, wait a minute. Is that meat?
No, it was definitely bread, but I just assumed it was real crusty, hard bread, and so that's why he was taking a meat cleaver to it.
But we also learned he's very strong. He's a very strong, brutish man, so perhaps there's just a lot of power behind this, because he does some strength feats in this episode.
Here's the thing. I think that bread would have to be hard and crusty, because I'm pretty sure it was going to be the base for Wiener Schnitzel noodles.
Interesting. Okay.
So...
Wait a minute. That's not how they make Wiener Schnitzel, is just breaded meat.
No, Wiener Schnitzel is, you get some wieners, you get some schnitzel, you mash them together with some hard tack.
He literally says that there's no wieners in Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, well, not the way he makes it. He's obviously a spy and not a chef, Chan. Come on, get it right.
I'm pretty sure there's noodles involved in Wiener Schnitzel. What am I thinking of? Stroganoff?
You're thinking of Der Wiener Schnitzel?
Here's the deal. Der Wiener Schnitzel is my jam. I will get a mustard and sauerkraut dog all day long.
I'm thinking of noodles.
Wiener Schnitzel is a hot dog, but Schnitzel is like a German potato dish, if I remember this correctly.
No, I think Chan is right. Schnitzel is a meat.
Yeah, schnitzel is.
It's like a breaded meat.
Wait a minute. What am I thinking of?
I'm thinking of like a stroganoff, or I'm thinking of kugel. Maybe, I'm thinking of kugel. I'm thinking of noodle kugel.
Yeah. Wiener schnitzel is a type of schnitzel made of a thin breaded pan-fried veal cutlet. It is one of the best-known specialties of Viennese culture and one of the national dishes of Austria.
Not down with veal.
Guys, I was thinking of spätzle. That's what I was thinking of. Spätzle is a type of pasta made with fresh eggs.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I guess
not potatoes, but I was sort of right. It looks like it. They look like little gnocchis.
No, you're thinking of a knish, I think.
Why am I the only one here who understands European cuisine?
I got 90% of those right. I know what a knish is. I know what kugel is. I know what noodles are.
I mean, I don't know what any of those things are. So, you know, and I watch a lot of Top Chef. Great job. He introduces the idea of the shrink ray into the episode. And his plan is he's a spy, but apparently still also a great chef, or a very good at faking being a great chef. It's never quite said, because we don't really see him make anything other than laundry water on the stove, which is a little weird.
Ugh, gross. Not laundry water. It's dish water.
Oh, I thought it was laundry water. Oh, well.
Why would you think it was laundry water?
Because that's how I do my laundry.
Ugh, gross.
Are you sure? Because I wrote here laundry. I feel...
I'm pretty sure he says that's dishwater.
Chan, we need a sound poll. I'll
dear God. For real?
Do you do your laundry in the same bucket of water that you do your dishes? Because that's sanitary.
I don't do my dishes in a bucket of water. I do them in the bathtub, Gina. Don't be weird. Thank you. Okay.
No, I call it dishwater.
Thank you.
I wrote laundry. Guys, maybe I have had too many hits to the head. Okay, here's the deal. As if there was ever any doubt, whenever me and Gina disagree, but Gina was right. you'd think I just accepted at this point, but I'm very obstinate. he's going to shrink the joint. Okay, guys, I need help with this plan. Okay. Much like many Deke Eric Cobra plans.
I don't know. I have a feeling you're going to get at least 10% of this wrong, but go probably. On.
The plan is the Joint Chiefs of Staff are showing up at this base, and he is a great chef who's going to make a great meal for the Joint Chiefs. The Joint Chiefs are going to be invited into the kitchen afterwards, where he's going to shrink them with his shrink ray. And then once he has them shrunk, America has to give up to the terrorists.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about right.
The Joint Chiefs could just be replaced, but instead all of America will concede.
Yeah, wait, so if you were in charge of a country, let's just say, and someone was like, hey, we shrank your allies, we shrank a bunch of dudes, we shrank them. Your solution is, I'll just hire some new ones. Fuck those little guys. Just step on them.
Guys, if we're going to call this not a country, but say a podcast, and my two podcast partners were shrunk to 6 inches high each and then abducted, yes, I would just hire new people.
Oh, yeah, you would record luck. This yourself.
Good luck finding two suckers to watch shitty G.I. Joe series for 5 years.
I would just get Dean Ippolito and Egon Clark Chan. I just figured that chemistry is probably very, very good.
Hope you enjoy getting punched in the balls repeatedly.
Like, I don't get that all the day here already.
He's got us, Gina. I'm pretty sure we're superfluous at this point.
Please, if I didn't have you two on the show, no one would listen. I'm 1,000% sure of that. Dear Lord.
Wait, are you saying if not for us, you would 100% be like a weird incel or something, but because we actually listen to your bullshit, you haven't become an incel?
You know, I'm not going to say that's not wrong or not right. Listen, we all grow. I believe I was trying to make that point earlier. We're all growing. Because if you're not growing, what are you doing, guys?
Showing.
Thank you.
Oh.
Moving forward. So we got the plan right. That's how America is going to be held helpless. Laverne and Shirley bust in as the inspectors of food. They talk about Wiener Schnitzel, and he demands to see their IDs because he's had enough of their bullshit. They don't have them. They try to bullshit him some more. So he cuts the table
first of
in
all,
half.
They're faking it. Ray is just blowing by the fact that they're faking it.
We know they're not inspectors. They're Laverne and Shirley.
Look, we don't. There's a talking pig in this cartoon. They could realistically be food inspectors.
I mean, okay, fair enough.
I'm just saying for the listeners, they're faking it because they want free food from a good chef, which is very on brand for me.
That's right.
Their gimmick is that they're always hungry and wanting to eat, which is... honestly kind of refreshing, because that is not a thing you see in female characters like ever.
No, that was a big thing back then, because they're always hungry because they're constantly on a diet. Like if you watch a lot of 70s and 80s things, it's the reason that they're always hungry is because they're always like sort of dieting.
Oh, that's creepy and weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's the case with Laverne and Shirley, but it is a lot of, like, if you watch, like, Golden Girls, like, so there's a running gag about, not that she's on a diet, but Sophia is always eating.
Okay.
Right, because she's, because she's an immigrant.
Well, she's Sicilian, so, and as wow. I can say, Chan. I am a quarter Sicilian, and we are always hungry.
4 years of the Donald Trump era in this country, and Chan has turned on immigrants, accusing them of eating. Wow. You think you know a guy. I might have to cut that part out, to be honest with you. That was too much.
But yeah, this was, if I remember correctly, they were constantly eating, but then also talking about like how they wanted to diet.
Hmm.
I mean, fair enough.
I mean, it's, again, true to me.
I look forward to the episode of The Unicorn in season 3 when Walton Goggins poses as a food inspector and sneaks his way into Top Chef, huh? I just wrote that now.
Then Tom Colicchio shrinks him.
I steal all of my TV ideas from crappy 70s and 80s cartoons. Because no one's going to remember.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, it'll be like that think piece on Cracked 20 years from now. It's like TV shows by Gina Ippolito that bear a striking resemblance to crappy 70s and 80s cartoons.
Oh, God. Is this going to be like a Dan Schneider, like, look at all the feet he puts in his shows type of thing?
Oh, I just think they're going to think it was accidental. So it's going to be like 7 times Gina Ippolito TV shows.
Oh, okay, good.
A 70s cartoon.
So I'm not being outed for anything here. It's just a coincidence.
We reached out to Gina Ippolito and she did not comment.
That's
also
brand,
weird so. That you would make Dan Schneider the person that you're comparing yourself to.
That was off. You know what? I let that pass. I shouldn't have.
Feet is not the worst thing that he's done. So
no, but it was the first thing that people were like, "Hey, it's weird that he likes feet." Oh, there's more.
They go, "Oh dear."
But there's always more, though. It's Hollywood.
Uh-oh, Quentin Tarantino better watch out. Then I guess.
Listen, I was once driving a gig job, and I was driving up in the hills of Hollywood, and I swear to God, running on the wrong side of the road in a tracksuit was Quentin Tarantino as I was driving by Lost, and I almost hit him with my car. And unfortunately, this was before Once a Time in Hollywood came out, and I'm still looking back wondering if I made the right decision by avoiding him.
Wait, you didn't like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No one did.
What? It was like nominated for an Oscar.
Nobody liked it, Gina.
You're crazy.
This is known.
Just because you didn't like it doesn't mean nobody liked it.
I've actually never seen it, so I have nothing.
What?
He just doesn't make good movies, so I don't even bother anymore.
Oh, you're a crazy person.
He is a crazy person. He is also not wrong.
You guys don't like Kill Bill? Thank What's you. Wrong with you?
It's not a good movie.
No, Kill Bill is a good movie.
Yeah.
Kill Bill has some good cinematography and action, but it's not a good movie.
You're crazy.
Okay, well, now we're fighting.
Yeah, thank you.
You hate the cinematography and action in Kill Bill, Chan? See, I just turned it around. See, that's called working the argument. Anyway, this isn't why people don't listen to us. I don't know why people. Anyway,
No one knows.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Here's Screech, the exciting new game that you play in the dark. Screech says, look for a spider. Have you got the spider? The cagey old owl lights up the glowing answer. Snakes and bats and skulls and spiders are in the magical eyes of Screech. It's fun to play in the dark.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
There's a big chase. Okay, so we end up getting shrunk. Shirley gets shrunk, and she ends up falling into a grate in the kitchen and then ends up in a tube outside the building in a puddle. Not in the sewers. She ends up in, like, the gutters and falls through a pipe into a puddle. So that's that.
Yeah, go on. Do you think we're gonna critique this?
Well, that's great.
It's a gutter. She gets splashed by water. We can move on from that, Ray. Why you gotta stop making a big deal
about
this?
We were gonna start talking about Dan Schneider and feet and I don't know what, and Kill Bill again.
I don't know. Maybe he saw like a real tiny woman and was like, oh, Dan Schneider must be into this.
I mean, probably is.
Yeah, probably.
That'd be fair. So the pig is very, very dumb, and the pig says, I've got 2 weekend passes for both you, Laverne, and Shirley, but I need to give them both to you. But if Shirley's AWOL and we can't find her because she's shrunk, I guess you guys don't get the passes, which is probably not wrong, but still a little weird. Laverne could just be like, I'm going to go give it to Shirley.
Here's the thing. We're making the pig out to be the bad guy, but clearly these women cannot follow rules and should not be in the military.
That is correct.
Yes, 100%.
So he's kind of right that he's like fucking with them a little bit because they are going to get their entire squad killed is what I think.
He's in the same way that Jeffrey Jones, the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, is never wrong at any point in that movie, really.
No,
he's still the bad guy of the movie. And also, speaking of creepers.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he do some stuff?
Listen, stack them up.
Just all the creepers, you're on notice. This is the episode we take you down.
A timely takedown of all these people.
A timely takedown of a 15-plus-year-old story of Jeffrey Jones. Stay tuned, though. Great movie. I'll go ahead and put that out there.
Oh, I love wow. Stay Tuned.
Love Stay Tuned. John Ritter.
I mean, John Ritter's amazing. I love the movie.
That movie's a great parody movie, Chan. It really paved the way for all those terrible Wayans Brothers movies. Maybe that's not a good thing, but it really, in an era when not enough parody movies were being made, this was one of them, and I thought it paid off. Now, if I watched it again now, it would probably come off not very well, so I choose not to. But it was very fun for its time.
I would totally watch it again. I love it. But this is one of my main problems with not having TV, with just having streaming services, because that is exactly the type of movie that I would be like, I would be flipping through random channels on a random day, and it would be on, and I would just leave it on. And there are so many movies that I will never seek out to watch on streaming services, but that I would leave on. Like, Soap Dish has been on 900 times on my very limited Samsung smart TV channel. And so I think I've watched it like a total of like 5 times while cleaning, just because I left it on that channel and it keeps coming back to it.
Love it. I mean, here's the deal. Yes. Yes to all the above. We have all kinds of those. Anytime I've seen the Lord of the Rings movies now, not that they're not great movies and you shouldn't seek them out,
but
I've probably seen them 10 times more than I would have just because they were on.
Yeah. Same with Mean Girls. I love Mean Girls and it's a great movie and I would seek it out, but it used to constantly be on TBS and TNT and like I would just leave it on. So I've probably seen it 800 times.
You don't use Pluto TV. You just leave your streaming whatever with your PlayStation just on a random ass channel and watch Soap Dish over and over.
Well, it's not my game system. It's the smart TV comes with built in channels.
There you go.
I see.
So and there's like one channel that just plays My Favorite Martian and another that plays a lot of Silk Stockings.
Isn't it awesome?
Right.
I'm not mad at either of those channels. And then there's like a Vivo music stations, like 10 of those at the end. But I usually leave it on CBSN, just CBS News all day long.
What a company worker.
Like on Sundays or something, the CBSN like news stories are usually kind of boring. So I'll flip around a little bit and you know, it's either My Favorite Martian, Silk Stockings, or Soap Dish. I don't get that many channels on my smart TV.
You know, I realized
how much do you spend a month on streaming services?
Don't answer. Don't answer.
It's on my business account, so who knows?
Right, but you have the world at your fingertips. And you're just watching
I prefer to leave it up to the gods what's going to be on TV, and I like seeing commercials.
Then why not just plug in an antenna and watch over the air?
I don't know how that works. I am a very low effort watcher.
That's fair.
You don't know how TV has worked for the last 80 years.
Listen. I mean, look, here's the thing. I kind of want to get cable again, even though I know I would not. It's pointless because I do have a lot of streaming services, but I just like the lottery. I like playing the lottery of what the hell's going to be on now. I've seen a lot of Rocco's Modern Life. There's a channel that plays some Nickelodeon cartoons.
I know every channel you're talking about because I think we have the same brand of TV.
Yeah, it's a Samsung smart TV.
Yeah, see, the thing is with Gina, you could plug something in or we could have something already built into your TV when you press the button to turn it on.
Yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of stuff connected to it and I have all of the streaming services. I could put on something else. I just like I just like not knowing what's going on. And also it's kind of fun knowing like you only have this many channels and you've got to pick the best thing out of these not great options.
Gina, you would have loved living in the 70s and 80s.
Yes, I did enjoy living in the 80s.
Why are you trying to recreate the shittiest parts of watching TV?
You know what else is great?
Wait, first of all, commercials happen.
Really love commercial breaks. And then you can learn about products that you didn't otherwise know about. It's amazing,
yeah.
Guys.
Look, Soap Dish is good. She's having a baby comes on a lot.
I have nothing against any of these individual films. I can't imagine wanting to watch it more than once in a lifetime.
Well, I'm not sitting down and watching it. It's background that I put on while I'm doing other stuff, while I'm checking email, while I'm feeding the cats, while I'm cleaning, while I'm working out. It's background.
Guys, I think we're bearing the lead on Stay Tuned. So Stay Tuned was a comedy movie from the 90s, early 90s, and John Ritter and I want to say Pam Dauber get sucked into a satanic television set.
Everyone knows what it is.
And I don't think anybody remembers this movie but us.
No, everyone knows it.
Okay, new poll. After you go vote in the theme song throwdown, do you remember the movie Stay Tuned? That's going to be on there afterwards. So go check our Twitter.
It's really fun. They get stuck in like different types of shows.
Yes.
And it's great.
Yeah, and it's satanic versions. Comedy Satan, though. Not like scary Satan. But yeah. Satanic versions of all like the famed shows of the 80s and 90s.
Every version of Satan, comedy Satan. Let's be honest.
It really is. No, you're not wrong. and they have a remote control, and they have to like live through the TV show long enough to find the big wall of static so they can jump into the wall of static and go to the next show in a quantum leap type scenario where eventually they land on the channel that sends them home.
Yeah, it's great. I want to watch it right now.
I want to watch it right now.
Hopefully my Samsung TV is playing it on a random channel.
I'm saying right now, for all our patrons on patreon.com/knowing is half the podcast, if it's on Netflix, Netflix party with Knowing is Half the Podcast, we watch Stay Tuned. Chan will have seen it for the first time. First time ever he's even heard of this movie.
God damn it.
Chan has obviously, if he doesn't love it, he's clearly never seen it.
I've seen it. I am a huge John Ritter fan. Back in the day, I definitely watched. I watched more Three's Company than all y'all's combined.
That's probably true.
I don't doubt that for a second.
I did watch Stay Tuned in theaters.
He was also really good in that one episode of Buffy, where, spoiler alert, it turns out he's a robot from a kind of sexist robot.
We were going to do that episode next. Okay, we've not talked about this show enough. Let's get back on track here. So they find immediately. So I thought there was going to be a lot of quirkiness of just like, oh, we have to find Shirley. And then they just don't find each other. And Shirley's like trying to reach out to them, but they can't hear her and all this other fun stuff. No. 5 seconds later, Shirley just shows up in the doorway. And Laverne's like, hey, Shirley, you're 6 inches tall. She's like, yes, we got to go get that chef. So they do a really weird thing for espionage where they hide Shirley on the shelf behind the salt shaker. And then just stand behind the shelf. So really, there was no reason to hide Shirley anywhere because they could hear the chef the entire time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But you don't get the cool visual of a small person surrounded by big things, which is the whole reason Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was a hit.
Okay, fair. Great movie, too, by the way. Let's also do a Netflix watch.
You know what? you know what's a good movie? Switching Channels. Which I oftentimes get confused with the other one because it's a similar title, but
Blade Runner.
Not at all the same plot, but it did have Superman in it.
Oh, well, if you have Superman in it, you know, you don't get Brandon Routh in every movie.
Oh my God, I'm going to kill you. I mean, real Superman, Christopher Reeve.
I'm not familiar.
Switching channels.
Real Superman, you mean George Reeves?
Yeah, George Reeves more like. Thank you.
Also, Burt Reynolds is in it. Kathleen Turner.
Look,
Ned
anytime
Bailey?
You can get Smokey, the guy from Deliverance, and V.I. Warshawski in a movie.
You did not just call Ned Beatty the guy from Deliverance.
Is he not the guy from Deliverance?
Yeah,
do you remember his character name? I thought it was Squeal Like a Pig Guy. So I was trying to give him a break here and just call him the guy from Deliverance.
Is that the only thing you know Ned Beatty from?
Come on now, Squeal.
Oh,
all right.
That's all anybody knows Ned Beatty from. What are we talking about?
Here's the thing. I just real quick typed in Google to see what comes up. Ned Beatty, American actor. Correct.
Uh-huh.
Ned Beatty, Wikipedia. Ned Beatty, Deliverance. Mm-hmm. Ned Beatty, Rango. So either
Rango.
You recognize him from being raped in Deliverance or you recognize him from the 2011 Johnny Depp animated vehicle Rango.
He's in so much stuff.
I know. I have no doubt that Ned Beatty works. Okay, listen. He's been in a lot of stuff. But if you were to walk on the street and say, hey, what was Ned Beatty in? 9 out of 10 people are going to tell you Deliverance, and the 10th person is going to somehow say Rango.
No, someone is going to say Superman 2.
No one's going to say that.
Someone is going to say Superman and Superman 2.
Why would they say that when they could say Superman 1?
Superman and Superman 2, Otis.
They're going to say, oh, he was in that one episode of Law and Order. So anyway, my point is, we're on IMDb right now. So
I'm just saying everyone should watch Switching Channels. It's also a delightful movie. Also a movie that I would leave on if USA happened to be playing it.
Man.
Double I mean, if we're talking channel switching shows, you got Amazon Women on the Moon. There's, oh, dang, I've already forgotten the,
There's an episode of Supernatural that does it really well.
Kentucky Fried Movie.
I was about to say Kentucky Fried Movie, but I couldn't remember if they used that gimmick. UHF, come on, let's get there.
UHF.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, our heroes want to arrest Bruno the chef. And he says, how are you going to do that? And they're like, we hadn't thought this all the way through. So he just starts chasing them after, you know, chopping the, you know, the table in half or whatever. And they do an interesting animation thing because they clearly didn't want to animate Bruno running. So you're with me, Gina.
Yes.
And so they just have our heroes running in their standard run animation and two flailing arms come off the side of the screen chasing them for a good 10 seconds.
Yeah, it was very weird and very noticeable. And it's just it's just his two arms are thrust forward. The rest of him is cut off. And then it's just completely. The arms going up and down as if he's running. And it could not have been more evident that they were at some point like, don't bother animating it. Like animating running is really hard. Don't do it.
They did a lot of making him Frankenstein, like he literally would go rawr, hold out his arms stiff in front of him, and then just walk towards them when he was chasing them.
That's fair.
Look, I don't know a lot about Russians, but I do know that they are all exactly like Frankenstein.
That's true. That's true. I have Russian heritage in me, and that's why I am part Frankenstein. It'll come as a surprise to no one.
Also, I will say there's one guy. One Russian, I'm not sure like really what he is, but it seems like he might be a real chef. He's just also loyal to Mother Russia, or else he's like an elite assassin. But is one guy against a tiny woman, a military pig, and a regular sized military woman, and they don't even try anything?
No,
like you telling me what's that pig trained for?
That pig is only like 1'6", so it's not
he's
like
a
he's
military
got
pig.
You'd think he'd have a gun. I don't know. You know, call me crazy, but he has a clipboard and the bit of him constantly pulling. Oh no, the manual. I'm sorry. He has the. I love this bit. Do you guys pick this? he keeps pulling out the army manual to like tell them either that they're doing things wrong or to find out the next course of action because everything is in his like starter manual. And I thought that was a funny, funny bit. I actually really liked that. And it added to his character and added to this show.
Yes, the fact that he has that manual means he made it through basic training.
Yes.
So there was a lot of climbing over walls and under barbed wire. You're telling me he can't take down one Russian chef?
No, not a Frankenstein Russian chef. Under barbed wire is easy when you're 1'6". I mean, truthfully, the climbing over walls thing, pigs are good climbers, right? They get into trees a lot.
Okay.
That's a thing.
I think Ray's being sarcastic, Gina.
Okay.
Could be right. Look, Jam, you tell me if I'm being sarcastic based on the veracity of my statement.
Some what does your army manual say about this situation?
It says, it says every pig for himself.
Yeah, that's super Horseshack.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so they all get caught, they all get shrunk, and he shoves them in a sugar bowl, and they escape by pulling on a spider thread?
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically they're climbing the spider thread, and Laverne and Shirley are like, yo, what's up with this spider? How'd you even get the spider thread in here? And the pig basically turns to him and is like, don't worry about that. And I was just like, no, I would like to know, pig, because this is actually your inspired moment of the show where you display your competence, much like Sunbow era Cobra, quite frankly. He shows that while he might be goofy, he can't figure some shit out from time to time. And I appreciated that about this character. I don't want him full on incompetent.
Yeah, I agree.
That'd be nice, but I don't think that is the case.
He got him out of the sugar bowl. Look, he had one moment of pride in this episode, and it was one more than I thought they were going to give him.
Yeah, I agree, because before he did the let's stack these up, I'm going to steal this woman's idea thing.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So yeah, I had the same thought of, oh, that was smart. He found a string. Who cares that it turned out to belong to a spider? It did the job.
Did the job. And so they escape. They get chased by a cat, which was a fun little moment, which I guess that's kind of like in any Honey, I Shrunk the Kids scenario, there has to be a point when you're menaced by like an ordinary small animal, right? Like that's just like, you have to do that bit. Like that's a
thing. It's they befriend an ant, but yeah, there's, and then they have to like dodge the dog nose. There's a lot of animal stuff in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
I did not care for this cat bit because there were no stakes. They go running from the cat. They slam the door. They take a break to rest. And then they're like, and now the cat will run into this door in 3, 2, 1.
That wasn't great.
Like the cat was a mile and a half away when they when it started chasing him. And then it didn't even stop, even though the door was closed like an hour before they made it there. They're on the bus, like driving over. Door's already closed, and it was like, ah, bam. I did not care for the timing of that.
Timing was bad. Well, okay, so they're looking for a phone, and they find a rotary phone. Now, kids at home, a rotary phone is a shitty phone. Let's just start there. It's a landline, and it has a big-ass dial, which is real useless. They apparently didn't invent push buttons until well into the 80s, unfortunately. So they have this shitty-ass rotary phone. Now, the thing about rotary phones that you need to be aware of is if you are a millennial or Gen Z, there's a very real chance a boomer-ass boomer is going to put one in front of you and be like, we'll order pizza as soon as you learn how to dial this phone. And then you won't know because it's a shitty-ass rotary phone. They probably don't even remember how to use a rotary phone.
Do phone lines accept pulse anymore?
I would have to assume so.
Because they still do tone, but I don't know that anything's equipped for the pulse.
Interesting. Here's the deal. I'll plug mine in. I mean, look, I don't have one. What are you talking about? Landlines, nerd. Moving forward. Now, I was very upset about this rotary phone bit because they're trying to work the dial on the rotary phone, but they're not very strong. Okay, I'm fine with that. But why do we get an image of them both pulling the rotary dial in different directions? They've been in the army. They should be more synchronous than this. That really upset me.
You're giving them way too much credit. It's almost like you don't know what this show is.
I mean, look, I know what this show is, but look, I would just like them to, after the pig climbs the spider web to get out of the sugar cubes, I was hoping competence would be back on the menu.
I would rather have seen them dial the number and then nobody believes them or their voice is too high pitched or whatever. Cause yeah, that doesn't make a sense.
It's weird. And this is where I got the immediate question because the Joint Chiefs of Staff show up. They're now at the base. Great. And my thought is, how exactly is Bruno going to A, get the Joint Chiefs into his shrink ray, which is basically like stationary, and you have to make a very specific opportunity to walk under it as opposed to around it like any normal human would. And then once he shrinks them to 6 inches tall each, he's having trouble keeping track of a pig and Laverne and Shirley. How would these military trained generals of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, like how would they not, you know, get over on him? I have problems with this plan, Chan. I just have problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not holding up for me.
No. I'm going to have to disagree with you there.
Okay.
Because there is only one problem with this show, and it is Laverne and Shirley.
Okay, interesting.
So.
Now, to be fair, they're generally, I like their chemistry on this show. Can I say that? They're like working together and back and forth. And like the comedy's not very good. It's very kind of hack jokes. And lots of just people insulting each other, and we just call it comedy, which is kind of what you did in the 70s and 80s.
This is a legit question. Have you never watched Laverne and Shirley?
I've seen Laverne and Shirley, but it's been a long time.
Okay, because it's they're great. It's a good show. It's exactly what you're describing, though. It's a lot of it's them working together, but then insulting. That's what Lenny and Squiggy are there for, and this is a aged down version of that sort of comedy.
And that's it's of its era. It's totally fine. I just replacing jokes with insults doesn't work for me in the year 2021, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. Is that fair?
No, I like it. I like insulting people in a funny way.
Okay. Gina's mean.
We learned which one of us is mean. And it somehow, shockingly, wasn't Chan. I'm shocked too, guys.
I'm angry. I'm not mean. There's a difference.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. Okay. Nope. I get it. Moving forward. Okay, so they end up trying to pull the dial of the rotary. No, this whole thing works absolutely nowhere. They end up catapulting themselves, I believe using the rotary, onto a wedding cake, and then they pretend to be the topper, which I'm like, that's okay. That's an acceptable bit.
Yeah.
That was cute. At which point, Bruno decides to pull his own Brian Malarkey on this last season of Top Chef and tries to put Laverne Shirley and the pig into the ice cream machine.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of good cartoon food in this. There's a turkey, there's a cake, there's ice cream, and I'm into all of it.
Right. And this ice cream was not appealing, though. This was like what's left at the bottom of that giant tub of ice cream your grandma had in her open freezer, right?
Look, when you're that small, it doesn't matter if it's the dregs. It's all going to be good.
No, it's not, because I believe what that flavor was is Tutti Frutti. And as a child, even I, who loved ice cream, would not eat Tutti Frutti.
Oh, see, I was thinking maybe it was bubble gum, which I was real into.
If it was Superman ice cream, now I'm back on board.
I really like bubble gum ice cream.
Oh, excuse me. This is the part where they use the spider web to crawl out, not the sugar cubes from earlier. So
yeah, the sugar cubes, they totally stack wrong. One on top of the other.
They stack them and then they get out. Okay, there we go. So this is the spider web. It's a good moment. We get the pig back some confidence. They get themselves onto the chef hat. And I don't know how Bruno doesn't notice them there, especially when they start shouting at the joint chiefs at the dinner and the joint chiefs can't hear them. How does Bruno not hear them? He's been communicating with them this whole time from greater distances than his own head.
Paraphrase the great sage, don't worry about that.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that part confused me. Here we go. Now we're in the final end game. They jump off. They get themselves unshrunk back to full size. They shrink Bruno. They do a little bit with the pig where the pig is like, okay, Laverne and Shirley, I unshrunk you. No, you have to unshrink me. And they're like, well, what are you going to do for us?
I enjoyed this.
Fun. I thought it was fun. Yep. And so the end result is Bruno gets taken into custody. Laverne and Shirley get their weekend passes. So literally the thing he has to do for you is what he was supposed to already do anyway. You are literally just getting your obligation, which is a little shitty. And then the piggy has to do KP duty. He has to clean the kitchen and work kitchen patrol. And that's not desirable in the army, as we all know. The end.
The end.
I didn't hate it.
What, Gina? You didn't hate it. What did you like about this?
Look, there's cartoon food. There's cartoon animals. There's a cat. There's a talking pig. And you know, the basic premise of either like two people and go into the military and their superior is a smart talking pig, or the basic premise of like good guys try to overcome a bad guy who has a shrinking ray, and there's a lot of chase sequences, which feels like it could be a very Scooby-Doo type of thing. Of that works.
I feel that. I would almost say that this show and this episode in particular was one set of washboard abs away from catching a Gina Bingo.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Chan, what did you think of Laverne and Shirley in the army?
Hated it.
Oh my god, you're doing it living color now, or are we just going for a full early 90s bonanza on this show?
I do not understand where that came from. That is not a thing that even back then I used to do. But there it is. I wanted to make the little snapping motions too, and
it's catchy. It's problematic now, but it's catchy.
I understand what they were doing, and I mean, I will say that it only went for 21 episodes. It got the 13 on the front, and then the two in season two when they were splitting it with the Fonz. Clearly, it didn't hit real hard, so I don't feel too bad about shitting on it. It is definitely of its time, but it just really grates at so many points.
Really? We've watched many considerably worse things on this show
yes.
that are far less creative than Laverne and Shirley in the Army.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Look, I didn't love it nor hate it, but I'm much closer to Gina on this than I am you, Chan.
Look,
I would
to be
say
clear,
that I generally
I didn't love it, to be clear. I just said I didn't hate it.
Gina, 10 stars Here's- out of 10. She would put it in the Cartoon Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore.
The other thing about this is that I had problems with G.I. Joe because it was basically selling the army. It was like, hey, it's fun to go off and murder people. And this is that times 10.
This does not make the military look appealing in the slightest. This is two people who are very clearly trying to shirk their duties at all times.
Which you can do. So like if you're a shirker, you're like, hey, this looks like the place for me. I can wander into the kitchen and eat food. There's a talking pig that I can throw paint on. Like, what's not to love about the army?
It is a little bit like
that's a reach, in my opinion. I don't think there's any military glorification in this. I think it's very clear that Laverne and Shirley hate being there and hate doing work and hate doing all of this.
I would say it's as much glorifying the military as the character of Shipwreck did.
I mean, if there was anybody that could get me to join the army, it was going to be Shipwreck.
I mean, fair enough. And that is Laverne and Shirley in the army. Y'all, what a fun time we had. Laverne and Shirley in the army. I believe in one more week. Is that right? Look, we're either doing one more palate cleansing episode. I forget how this all maps out. No, the next episode we're going to do is G.I. Joe Extreme with a very special guest that we had to wrangle. So unless something goes horribly wrong, this is the last episode of season 4. And we're going to have the beginning of season 5, which is where we're going to finish Theme Song Throwdown and start G.I. Joe Extreme next week. So I hope you have enjoyed this back-to-back palate cleanser of Plastic Man and Laverne and Shirley in the Army, because we got some more G.I. Joe adjacent programming to do.
Yay.
Chan, you seem less than enthused. I know when you signed up for this show, you thought it was only going to be like 20 G.I. Joe episodes in existence total. But now you just got to keep going. You're pot committed at this point.
This is that Richard Bachman book, and I'm just like, I can't stop or I'll get shot.
That's fair. I mean, to be fair, we did promise you a free car at the end of the run of this show.
Yeah.
Wait, do I get one?
No.
Oh. Do I get a free cartoon cake?
Fudgy the Whale?
Yes.
I will take a Fudgy the Whale cake. And
you know what? At the conclusion of this show, we're going to get you a Fudgy the Whale. Okay, look,
I will get
you a Fudgy the Whale.
Okay, this is legally binding.
No,
you
I'm doing
set
it.
Set it on a podcast, so it's legally binding.
I am kidding. Look, I'm going to get you a Fudgy the Whale cake. Chan, I'm going to get you a Garfield I Hate Mondays t-shirt.
Here's the thing. By the time we're done, you can share that Fudgy the Whale cake with Egon, who will be turning 18. And, you know, I don't know. You can put him in your sex dungeon or something. I don't care.
Wow.
Once he turns 18, I'm done with him.
We just took a turn. Well, that's our show. Hey, everybody. Thanks for visiting with us. You can always give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts /iTunes. We would appreciate that. If we say it every year. If we can get to 85 reviews, Chan will shave his head and be Dr. Mindbender. I know we've been saying it for 4 years now. It's still true, and we still need to get to 85 reviews, which is kind of sad. There's way more than 85 people that listen to this show. I've done the numbers. I know that there's plenty of people that are listening right now that have not done it. Y'all, this week, let's get us to 85 or 5-star reviews. And because we deserve it, quite frankly, and we have earned it.
We've been on the air long enough. Don't we only have like 10?
No, I think we're like 10 short right now or something in that ballpark. Okay. So we can do 10, 11, 12, whatever it is. We can do that many in a week. If y'all who have not done it yet, just go do it. Just do it. I don't even care. Just do it. Okay. Go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You can check out our Facebook group. and communicate it that way. But the big way we like to talk is on Twitter. At G.I. Joe Podcast is the name of the Twitter account. You can also do patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Patrons just got stickers and magnets. Y'all, they just got stickers and magnets from us.
Yeah, show us those pics. Tweet
at us. We want more. We know y'all got them, unless Chan only stuck one in the mail, figuring we wouldn't follow up any further. Who's most likely to put this online? He's the only person I'm sending it to. It is very much on the table, to be fair. But I want to see more. I see some more pictures of magnets and stickers and what have you. And just thank you very much for being a part of the show on patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You really have helped us improve greatly and do some of the things we would not have otherwise been able to do. And we want to keep sending you things. So do that. Otherwise, you can hit us up individually on Twitter. I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And that is our show. Go vote in theme song Throwdown. Good night.
A commanding pig? Join the army, you said?
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.